Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Debbie Matz, Chairman of the National Credit Union Administration. So, Debbie, you mentioned that in 2008-2009, the global financial crisis exerted a strain on all financial institutions, and credit unions weren't exempt. Would you elaborate on the actions taken by your organization in response to the corporate credit union crisis, and more particularly, what lessons were learned from this crisis?
In 2008, there were sizable losses from the mortgage-backed securities held by several of our corporate credit unions, and eventually that led to the liquidation of five of the corporate credit unions in 2009 and 2010. And as I indicated before, the corporates exist primarily to provide credit unions with liquidity and investment services. What we needed to do immediately was to stabilize the credit union system, to make sure that that credit unions understood that we were overseeing the problem, that they didn't withdraw their money from the corporates, and that we ensured that credit union members, individuals, were not affected by this, that none of their transactions would be adversely affected. We also needed to resolve the problem, and we did that by conserving these corporate credit unions and by setting up what I guess is known as a good bank, bad bank, to transfer the legacy assets out of the existing facility until they could be wound down. And then we needed to reform the system, so we developed an entire new rule dealing with the corporates, limiting their powers so that their investment abilities were cut way back, and we made other significant changes so that they would never be confronted with this type of situation again. As I said, it took an enormous effort on the staff, and they took some very creative actions that had not been done before. For instance, we needed liquidity, and so they securitized the cash flow on the legacy assets and sold them as federally guaranteed asset-backed securities in the marketplace to investors. These were known as NCUA guaranteed notes, and at the time we really didn't know how they'd be received. We didn't know if they'd be purchased mostly by overseas investors, and if that was the case, how that would look. But we had 11 offerings. They were all oversubscribed, and we raised over $28 billion and got the liquidity that we needed to maintain the system. So that was very significant. And in fact, it was so significant that we've actually had some foreign nations come to meet with our staff to find out how they did that so that they could learn from it. We've made our regulatory changes, which involved enhanced internal controls and limits on investment. And finally, because we felt that accountability was so important, we have sued a number of Wall Street firms. Mm-hmm. And we have reached settlements with five of these firms and have collected more than $170 million. And that went back into the what we call the Corporate Stabilization Fund, the fund that was set up to deal with all these issues. So we still have, I believe, six suits pending against other firms, and our lawyers are trying to work out settlements with those firms as well.
So, Debbie, I'd like to explore the future health of credit unions, which I understand is really reliant on the increasing membership. And one thing I found interesting when I was researching for the interview is the average age of the credit union member is 47, and yet the peak borrowing age is 25 to 44. So, in a sense, the average member is already past their prime borrowing years. I would be interested to understand how your administration, your agency, helps credit unions enlarge their consumer base and appeal to younger generations.
Well, that's something that I talk to credit unions about in just about every speech that I give. I remind them that if they want to be around in 10 years, they need to attract younger members. And in order to attract younger members, they need to provide the services and the tools that younger members need and desire. So, for instance, they need to make sure that they're embracing technology. Young people want to do their banking online. They want to make loans on, be able to get a loan online. They want to be able to access their account 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And credit unions need to provide that technology. They need to have websites that are appealing to young people and that are easy to navigate. They need to reach out to young people and get them to understand that credit unions are a good value, because generally in a marketplace, credit unions charge less interest on loans and pay higher interest on accounts. And so that's an important message for young people to know. And I encourage them to offer financial literacy to young people starting in elementary school. And there are a number of credit unions that do that. They go into elementary schools and work with the teachers to offer some classroom demonstrations. There are a number of credit unions that actually have branches in high schools. And so it's a good opportunity for young people to not only learn about a credit union, but to work in one and to learn how credit unions operate. So I always encourage credit unions to reach out to young people in every way that they can, because that's their future.
That's wonderful advice for them. But, you know, you mentioned earlier that you folks have a part of your mission is protecting consumers as well. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Would you elaborate on your efforts to engage consumers and equip them with certain insights and understandings around the complexity of the financial landscape? And how does the mycreditunion.gov site factor into your efforts?
Well, several years ago, we created an Office of Consumer Protection. And the goal of that office was, one, to help individuals or groups charter new credit unions, but also to deal with consumer complaints about credit unions and to provide financial education. That credit union, it's taken a while to get it up and running, but it is now up and running. And they established two websites. One is mycreditunion.gov, which I'm very pleased, because they set it up in English and they also set it up in Spanish. So that's a great way to reach people who need financial services by having it in both languages. And it provides a great deal of consumer education. And it's also a place where people can go and file their complaints if they have them. They also established a microsite called PocketSense, S-E-N-C-E, PocketSense, which is aimed at young people, and it encourages financial literacy and introduces them to credit unions. We also had a campaign with Susie Orman that lasted for about 18 months, and it was called NCUA Safe. And it was really to promote the NCUA brand, so people knew that if they had their money deposited in a federally insured credit union, that their deposits were safe up to $250,000. So those were some of the things that we've done. We also have an office that provides small grants to credit unions to do financial education. So we try to encourage credit unions to do financial education.
So shifting from the consumer to the actual credit union, how are you folks engaging them in a more innovative way and communicating with them more innovatively?
Well, that's been one of my goals. And, you know, it involves a lot of different components, because we not only want to reach the credit unions, CEOs and the staff, but we also want to reach the boards of the credit unions. And so, as I said, I travel a lot and go out to meetings with them so that I can hear what they have to say and answer their questions. We also do webinars. I do, every quarter, I do a webinar for the industry. So anyone can call up and ask anything they want. These are 90-minute webinars, and they're pretty much no holds barred. The senior staff and I make small presentations and then answer any of their questions. But we also do webinars for the industry on specific issues. So if we pass a new rule and it might be complicated or hard for some credit unions to deal with, we'll hold a webinar so that we can explain it to them and answer their questions. I did these six listening sessions that I mentioned to get out there and hear from them. We also have a monthly newsletter called the NCUA Report, which is simple articles written in plain language, which goes out to every credit union, and anyone who signs up for it can get it. But we mail it out to the credit union and the board chair. We email it to everyone who we have addresses for because we want to get it into as many hands as possible. But it explains in very simple language what NCUA is doing, what issues we're concerned about, and why we're concerned about these issues. And our goal is to reach people who need this information in order to make their policy decisions at the credit unions. We've also revamped our website so that it's easier to navigate, and that's always a work in progress. I always tell the staff that if I can find something, then we've reached our goal. And we use social media. Mm-hmm. We have we're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. So we're trying to reach people in as many ways as possible. And people who some people like to read things. Some people like to use their iPhone. So we're trying to reach them wherever they are at.
Interesting. So I understand you're the chair of the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council. Would you tell us a little bit more about the council? What entities compose the council? And more particularly, how does it seek to promote uniformity in the supervision of financial institutions?
The FFIEC is made up of five regulatory agencies: NCUA, the Federal Reserve, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, OCC, FDIC, and CFPB, which is the Consumer Finance Protection Board, plus one state regulator. And we meet quarterly and discuss issues that we have in common and we'll put out guidance together. And the idea is to promote consistency across supervisory agencies, which enhances stability.
What does the future hold for the U.S. credit union system? We will ask Debbie Matz, chairman of the National Credit Union Administration, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.